be the heart of Jesus Christ in an adult setting. And I think that's very important for us this morning. As we start this message, the really key verses I want to key off of is Luke chapter 18 and verses 15 through 17. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a sermon series entitled The Letters in Red. I was talking to the guys the other day in staff meeting, and one of them did the exact same thing that I did. Now, I want to be very clear with this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe in the verbal and the plenary inspiration. What I mean by that is that every word is inspired and the whole thing is inspired. So we believe that. The word inspired means to be breathed out by God. He used human instruments, but He breathed it out. This is His book, not ours. He is the author of the Word of God. However, it's often easy for us, as you look at your Bible, if you have a Bible that has the red, particularly in the Gospels, you'll have the red print that is signifying of the words that Jesus Christ Himself spoke when He was here on earth during His physical ministry here on earth. And so I really want to do something just a little bit different in that I want to have a series just on the words of Christ during His earthly ministry. The key words I'd like to key off of is Luke 18 and verse 15. He says this, "And they brought unto Him also infants." Some would say little ones. If yours says that, I want to be very clear with you that the word that was used there, the King James is very correct in this. It was little ones in that it was infants, it was babies that were being brought to Jesus Christ. It says, "And they brought unto Him also infants that He would touch them." Now, we don't know exactly what this means, if it was either healing or blessing. More than likely, it was blessing. And that was very typical in their culture, as we'll see here in just a moment, even in our church today. "But when His disciples saw it, they rebuked them." Now, why did they do this? I'll tell you why. Because to them, this was the rabbi, this was the anointed one, the Christ. And to be bothered with little babies, to be bothered with taking care of little children, look, our Lord's too busy for this. Our Lord doesn't have time for this. Look, there's so many more things that matter to Him than these little infants, these little children. Our God has a lot of things that He's got to accomplish. Our Savior has a lot more on the line than your little junior. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ does not feel that way about our children? So He responds in verse 16. "But Jesus called them unto Him and said, Suffer the little children to call and come unto Me." Who did He call? He called the children. He said, "Bring them to Me." You can almost sense Him looking at the disciples around Him saying, What are you doing? Man, be quiet. "Bring the little children to Me. Encourage them to come to Me. Keep pushing them toward Me. Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." I'm going to ask the Summerfords if Will and Tara would come up to the stage this morning. Can you guys come on up? And any family that you have with you, I'd like to encourage them to come up as well. Brother Josh, can I borrow that microphone? You guys come on over this way, would you? I'll set this right here. Can I hold Emma for just a moment? And this is your mom and dad? I tell you, we're thrilled to have you here. We've been praying for you a great deal. I want you to know that. A great deal. All right. Ooh, what? You ready? Look out there. Don't get embarrassed. See out there? Look. There you go. No, over here. Here, I'll help you this way. No, you got to look the other way. She's never seen somebody so good looking. All right, everybody ready? On three. One, two, three. Oh, this is Emma Grace. Emma's how old now? 6 months. 6 months. She was born up in Madison, and we're thrilled. I want to tell you real quickly the work that God's done with, you want to go to mom? The work that God's done in the Summer for its family. Hasn't been so long ago. I think it was last summer, wasn't it? Toward the middle of summer, we had a testimony time. I've told this story before, but Will and Tara were sitting in the audience. They hadn't been coming to Somerville Baptist Church for too long. And we were given testimonies, and I was just led spontaneously by the Lord to have people give salvation testimonies specifically when they came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And Sunday night's always a little more intimate setting as a family. So we're going through these salvation testimonies, and then as it continued on, Will got under conviction. And he leaned over to Tara and said to her, I don't have a testimony. Is that what you said to her? I don't have a testimony. And so he walked out, and Dwayne met him out there in the lobby. I'm not sure how all that worked. And he accepted Jesus Christ, walked out those doors. The testimony time kept going. It was a pretty powerful time. He came in those doors, and then he shared with the rest of the congregation how he had settled his salvation in Jesus Christ, trusted Christ as a Savior. And so he walked out those doors. One man came in those doors, a new creature. And the Lord's just done absolutely wonderful, graceful miracles in the Summer for Family ever since then. Then the Lord blessed them with Emma. Hunter's been nice to his little sister, I'm sure. Man, you're looking sharp today too, Hunter. I got to tell you that. Very dapper. God blessed them with Emma. One of the first things that they talked about doing was dedicating Emma to the Lord. And that is something very biblical. You find that clear back when it comes to Hannah with Samuel, back in 1 Samuel. We even give a gift that has that passage of Scripture on it. You know, this is part of the message that Jesus Christ is sharing. Encourage. Parents, listen to me. The reason I have you young people staying in here today is because it's your and my responsibility. It's our responsibility and privilege to encourage, to commit ourselves to encouraging our young people to Jesus Christ. And so today the Summerfords have brought forth Emma for that very purpose. They want to dedicate. When you talk about a baby dedication, I will tell you, it's not nearly as much a child dedication as it is the dedication of a home to Jesus Christ. They're committing themselves publicly to raising their children in the grace, the nurture, the admonition of our Lord. And so today as a church family, we join them in this. So I would like us to do this morning. Let's gather around. And Will, I'm going to have you pray, and then I'll close in prayer as well. And let's just pray over little Emma, if we would.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time to come here, God. We thank you for this beautiful miracle you brought in our life, God, and this baby. And just ask that you put your arms around us and that you guide us in the ways to raise her and raise her up in the way that you would have us, God. Help us to always keep you first in our home, Father, and always show you at the forefront of our home and everything that we do, Father, for our kids, God, and just be with us and give us your strength during the hard times. And just thank you for sending Emma into our lives, God. We thank you so much for all that you do in this wonderful blessing, God, and just ask that you be with us and that we always glorify you in the way that we raise our daughter and our son too, Father, and that they grow up and become godly men and women for you. Be with us in your son's name.
Lord, I praise you for the Summerfords. I thank you for Emma. Lord, she's full of life. She's full of curiosity. Lord, I thank you for Hunter. I thank you for the way you blessed him with a godly family as well. And Lord, now we ask your blessing upon this home. Lord, I pray with Will and Tara in the culture and the day in which we live. It must take your grace and courage for them to do what you're calling them to do. And Lord, I pray that they do it in simple faith, that they'll just trust you, that this is the way that we should lead our home. And Lord, we do. We lift up Emma to you. Lord, I pray for both she and Hunter, that Lord, they become mighty warriors for you, that they serve you in ways that we cannot even imagine. They glorify your name in ways that we could never have dreamed of. And Lord, help us to ever remember this day for the Summerford home and for Summerville Baptist Church. And most of all, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's say thank you to the Summerford family for their willingness to dedicate themselves. That's great. You want me to help you? Okay. You know, every time I get around babies, we have five children. Man, I want another child. I really do. But it's not happening. So I just love to hold others' children. And Whitney's not going to have a child till she's 40 anyway. So we'll wait for grandchildren as well. When Jesus Christ, in his message, he's telling them, he's rebuking. As much as he's encouraging the disciples to come to him, he's also rebuking the children to come to him. He's also rebuking the disciples. Do you know how he's rebuking them? He's saying, listen, you don't get it. You don't understand. What you don't understand is that if you do not come to me as this little child is coming to me, then you can't come to me. What does he mean by that? My proposition is, how do you and I, how are we to approach this Christian life? There are some things that I wish I had learned much earlier in my life. I know it was taught me. I just thought that I knew better. And it was this, that somehow the Christian life is to be something complicated. It's to be something that joy is manufactured in. That's the reason C.S. Lewis really got it when his great autobiography was entitled Surprised by Joy. Joy is not something you search after. Joy is something that comes to you in the Christian life as a result of a life of simple faith. Now, how does a child come to Jesus Christ? He comes to Jesus Christ in only one way. That little girl comes to him in only one way, and that is just simple faith, just simple trust. Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. Lord, I'm going to believe that you are who you say you are, that you'll do what you say you're going to do. You know, if you think about that for just a second, how many of our problems would just vanish away if we would just have simple faith in Jesus Christ? Some of you have come today, and when you've come, you've made this Christian life. And I'm speaking to believers a lot now. I'm speaking to myself. I told Joy this morning. I said, man, I want Christian life to be something that is just something very simple. It's something that is not always carrying a heavy burden around with you. It's something that is, that when you wake up, it's, you know what, if you don't set the house on fire for Jesus Christ, if the world is not turned upside down, it's not because you're not trusting him. It's just simply because he's chosen not to use you in that way. He'll use you in smaller ways, or maybe bigger ways, that maybe it's just in ways you're not even going to see in your lifetime. It's just a simple faith. Just simple faith. I have a question for those who are believers in here. How long has it been since you and I have just lived a simple faith? Just simple. That doesn't mean it's a lazy faith. That doesn't mean it's a faith without passion. But it does mean that it's a faith that is just foolish enough to trust him. Lord, I don't know where the money's going to come from. I know that I'm in the middle of your will. Lord, I don't know where that new job opportunity is going to come from. But I know that you have this worked out. Lord, I don't know about who I'm going to marry or what my vocation is going to be. I don't know all of these things. All the family trouble. Lord, I don't know. But I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to do what I know you've called me to do right here and right now. Just very simply. No fireworks. No parades. No big circus acts. Lord, I'm just going to live out my life in simple faith. Can I tell you that's the only way you can come to him? It brings me to my second point, and I move quickly. How do we come to him? We come to him by simple faith. And he makes this point. You have to come to him as a little child. If you don't come to him as one of these little ones, then you have no other way to come to me. But if you come to me as a simple child, come to me only with simple faith and nothing else. Because he says, don't just come to me with simple faith. Come to me with simple faith alone. Well, how do we see this? Look now, he's just given this whole point made about the child coming to him. Now, look, immediately after this, it's not just immediately after, you'll see in just a second, it's immediately before it. In verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, boom, this is right on the back end of him saying, if you don't come to me as a little child, then you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. No sooner does he get that out of his mouth, you would think that Peter was the only one who's brash here. No, you have another one who still doesn't get it either. And so a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He just told him. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, what point is he making? Well, Pastor, you just said that salvation is by simple faith. That the only way we can come to him is by simple faith. And now he's telling, seemingly, this young ruler something exactly opposite of that. No, he's not. He's making a very strong point to him. He's showing him just how impossible it is. So he says, you know, you don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. And how does the ruler respond to him? Oh, what an arrogant personality. So he responds to him and he says in verse 21, and he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Wow, what a spiritual guy. You're telling me you've never done one of these things? You've never gone against, offended one of these commandments? My goodness, how spiritual you are. So Jesus Christ now ups the ante. By the way, I can tell you, Jesus Christ knows our besetting sins. He knows. You can try to fool everyone around you, but Jesus Christ knows the real you. He still loves the real you. That's what's amazing to me about it. He still loves me. He still offers his grace to me, but he knows me. So he responds. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Well, again, Pastor, you kind of confused me because he just said it was by simple faith. But now he's saying you have to go and do all these things. And he said he did all these things. And then he goes, now you're going to have to go and sell all that you have because he was very rich. So is he not teaching salvation by works? No, he's teaching exactly opposite of that. He's trying to tell you and me, you can never do enough to be saved by your works. Because for everything that you do, there will always be one more thing that you must do. You're behind the eight ball. You want to be as righteous as you can be this morning? Well, you know what? I haven't. He's basically saying an adultery. You know, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen from anybody. I haven't done any of those things. How many times have you and I heard in our life this statement from someone? Well, how do you know if you die, how do you know that you'd go to heaven? Well, I hadn't killed anybody. Well, I hadn't, you know, been faithful to my wife, been faithful to my kids. How many times have you and I heard that in our lifetime, in the culture in which you and I grew up in here in Alabama? For all the times that we have heard the truth proclaimed, and yet still, we don't grasp the truth. The truth is not by what you and I have or have not done. In order to obtain salvation, it is something that only He can do. It is simple faith alone. Now, do you know why you sense somewhat of a frustration in Jesus Christ? Because he says right after this, he says in verse 24, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Notice, exclamation point. He is basically shouting this. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. There's been this discussion for centuries now. What did he mean by the eye of a needle? What did he mean by the camel going, it was one of those gates that a camel had to fit through? No, I think he's being very literal here. I think he's saying it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Have you ever tried to thread a needle? I can't do it. I can't play. My fingers are too big. I can't even play a guitar right, much less thread a needle. So I just hand it to Joy. And then I do all my other sewing on my own. No, I don't. It's almost impossible for me to thread a needle. He's saying that's what it's that impossible. As long as a man is trusting in his riches, as long as a man is trusting himself for anything towards salvation, he doesn't get it. Salvation is all about him. Listen, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's all about him. It's simple faith. Notice now, go back to verse 19. He's going to make this point even more clear. This whole passage, by the way, is about faith. In verse 19, he gives this parable. He spake this parable unto certain, who's he speaking it to? Which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. By the way, can I tell you something this morning? If you are one today who is trusting in your own righteousness for salvation, you're going to have immediately a judgmental, self-righteous spirit toward others around you. The two go hand in hand. If you have one, if you've achieved salvation on your own, that means that the things that you have done is something that others around you have not done. That can't but help breed a sense of pride in a person. I've made it. Why can't you make it? I've achieved it. Why can't you achieve it? So if you listen closely in our language itself, there's an attitude of condescension toward those around us. We're condescending. We're very self-righteous. Now, well, Pastor, I don't believe that for salvation. Well, then why do you believe it for sanctification? Because your attitude, even in that, is very obvious. Do we not pray in our spirit? You know who you ought to ask? Ask your children if you and I don't have this attitude. They'll tell you. We like to cloak our self-righteousness, but our children read right through it. If you could pull your children away from you, because they probably won't say it to you because they're afraid of the repercussions or they don't want to hurt you. But if you could get them off by themselves, yes, they can be pretty cruel toward people around them. They do expect people to be forgiving to them, but they're not very forgiving to those around them. They're very forgiving toward themselves if they offend someone, if they're overly demanding, if they're overly harsh, but if someone seemingly is that way with them, they'll hold on to that for years and they'll use it as a weapon toward others for years. You see how easy it is for us to also become very self-righteous. So he gives this parable to you and me. And he says these words in verse 10. Now two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, a very religious man. The other publican, a tax collector, a very hated man in Jewish culture. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Now, what does he mean by praying to himself? Have you ever gotten done praying? I'm going to be transparent here. Have you ever gotten done praying and said, man, that was pretty powerful. The word just kind of came right out there. People are crying after him praying and people are amening. I tell you, he ought to call on me to pray more often. That's pretty good. Man, am I good. You said it. You ever listen to a person who prays on and 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 on? What are they doing? They're speaking to themselves. Has it ever struck you that God doesn't need to hear our King James English? Has it ever struck you that God doesn't need to hear how sinful others are? Has it ever struck you that God needs to hear your heart humbled before Him? Simple faith alone. So he's praying with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. By the way, can I tell you a phrase that has come into our prayer life that I think if we're not careful, I'm not saying it does every time, but I think that it can hold a cloak of self-righteousness? Well, you'll know how to finish it. But for the grace of God, that's me. No, my friend. That is you. What you're looking at is you. You've been saved by the grace of God. And your old, ugly flesh, that is who you are. You're sinful and as nasty and as perverted and as ungodly as anyone that has ever walked this earth. We've been saved by His grace. So notice, He says, I fast twice a week. I go to church three times a week. I tithe. I give. I go to SOS. I go to Highways and Hedges. I teach a Sunday school. I disciple. I mean, I just, you want me to tell you a key sign of how that's showing up in your life? Watch how easy it is for you to get offended at those who are being blessed in a way that you're not being blessed. You'll see it show up then. You know how? Well, I just don't understand, Lord. I don't understand how I've been serving You and I've been doing this for You and I've been doing that for You. And they get so blessed. And you see what you're saying? I am earning my way into blessing. I'm earning. I'm deserving of something better than what I'm getting. I'm not as they are. I'm better than they are. So the publican shows up. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know what he's saying here? You come to me. You want to come to me? You desire to come to me? Then you come to me by simple faith. Like one of these little children. When I ask for Emma, she hands Emma over to me. Emma did not start screaming and wailing, and she might have been on the inside, but on the outside, I don't know if he can handle me. I don't know if he can hold me up. I don't know if he can take care of me. I'm not. She just simply, well, I don't know who that is, but well, here I am. It's just simple faith. Lord, I'm going to trust You. Lord, I don't get it. I don't see why these things are happening. But Lord, I'm going to trust You. By the way, can I tell you something? Even the trials of our life, we can rest in simple faith before Him. Don't come up with some new twist. Don't come up with some different way that the Word of God doesn't teach. Just trust Him. You know how Job said it? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. It's just simple faith. Lord, I'm just going to trust You simply. What am I trying to boil it down to? I look at Christians and I look at myself, and it's such a burdened life that we live. It's not the joy that one would expect to come from the Christian life. It's the constant worry, and it's a constant depression. It's a constant battle. I'm not saying those things are going to be taken away from you, but our response to them should be just in simple faith. Lord, I'm going to trust You. I'm just going to trust You. Which leads to the last. We come to Him by simple faith. We come to Him by simple faith alone. Nothing else, not even your good works, should you bring to the table. But I will say this about simple faith. That simple faith alone will be rewarded. Notice now what happens after this passage of Scripture. He says in verse 24, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And you can imagine now, listen to the panic that shows up. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Lord, we don't even understand all this. Remember, from a child they have been raised to do righteousness as a way to gain access to God. So who in the world could even possibly be saved? We don't understand what You're trying to say. And He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. In other words, he's saying, you just simply trust me and I'll give you the grace to trust me more. And when you need the grace, I'll give you grace to trust me more. And more and more. You know, I love how the man said it. One of my favorite verses in all the scripture is, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I am a weak and sinful man. Lord, I believe you, but Lord, I need more faith. Lord, I'm asking, I'm begging you, Lord, give me more grace to believe you. He will. So Peter says these words. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee, Lord. Lord, we've left everything. And he did. Peter here is not being braggadocious. Peter, he's listening and he's trying to learn. And Peter was one of those guys who didn't do well on written tests, but he would do fantastic on an oral quiz. So he's needing to hear this from the Lord. Lord, we have simply trusted you. Lord, we have left all to trust you. Lord, I don't know what else you want us to do. Lord, we did what you asked even of the rich. Lord, we've just simply trusted you. I love the words that he gives to Peter. He doesn't condemn him. Now he's being very caring of Peter. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So let me say this to you. We come to him by faith, simple faith. Child of God, just trust him simply. We come to him by simple faith alone. For those of us that are here that you've never settled your salvation, don't come to him with your righteousness. There's always going to be one more thing for you to do. You'll never achieve it on your own. Come to him by simple faith alone. And then lastly, understand this, that coming to him in simple faith as a little child, it's not that you're not going to have all these questions. It's not that you're not going to have all your questions answered. It's not going to, there's going to be things, gaps left in that you'll have to grow and learn. It's a quest of life. But the phase of trusting for salvation is just very simple. Lord, I believe that you died for me. And I believe that it took your death. It's something I could not do. I believe that what you did on the cross is sufficient for me. And then, Lord, I believe that you'll give me the grace for the rest of my life. That, Lord, you'll provide in time of need. You'll give me the strength when I need it. You'll give me the material possessions when I need it. Lord, you'll take care of me I'm just going to simply trust you. I can't say my flesh will always agree with you, but I will simply trust you. Lord, help mine unbelief. He says, when you do that, there is reward. And you have to trust him for that. And the reward is not just heaven. He says, I'll give you life everlasting. But he said, there'll be manifold blessing in this present time. Oh, so that means that I'm going to be healthy and wealthy? Is that what it... Not in a worldly sense, no. You'll find in Scripture that was not true of many within the pages of Scripture. But I can tell you this. What they were surprised by was a peace that passes all understanding, that kept their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It was a joy unspeakable, indescribable, and full of glory. When the lights went out at night, it was a rest in him. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I trust him. Can I tell you, and I close now. Last night I got a voicemail. I have not been feeling well over the past few days it appears to be the flu. But last night I got a voicemail, and it was Cheryl Wright and Jimmy, who's been a pastor for over 60 years. He's been serving very faithfully in ministry. She said, Pastor, my mom, Joyce Hospice, has come in, and they said more than likely that it probably won't be very long. And his kidneys have started failing him. And the last time I had the privilege to sit down with Jimmy, I was introducing Josh Grubbs to a lot of our shut-ins. And So we went in and sat down where I normally do with Jimmy in the chair across from him. And Jimmy did the same thing that he did the time before. Jimmy, on his good days, he knows who I am, but when he talks about things that did not happen today. He talks about things because of where he's at physically now and mentally, of things that happened 30 and 40 and 50 years ago. And they're very real to him. Do you know what the beauty of what he's talking about is? Oh, Brother Shane, I remember that revival that we were at over in Western Tennessee, and I remember that we had over 63 people that come, and he just starts crying, came to Christ that night. We had 140 plus that were baptized. He would go on for a few minutes just listening, and he goes, and Brother Shane, I remember this man, he's the pastor of that church now, you know. I remember when he and his wife came and he got saved. And it does not matter how long you sit there with Jimmy Wright. You could sit there for an hour. You could sit there for four. The conversation will always be the same. Those who walk in simple faith will receive manifold blessing in this present time. I have sat down with those at a time like he is in, that upon their lips come cursing. Upon their lips come fretting. Upon their lips come the offenses and the bitterness and the hatred that they hold from years past. But only those who live in simple faith, in that absolute transparency of their minds, are talking about all the ways that God has used them. The people have been changed through their earthly ministry. And then Cheryl's talking to me, and she says this. She goes, Pastor, my dad and mom will have nobody else do the funeral but you. You know he loves you very much. Man, let me tell you something about Jimmy Wright. Jimmy Wright is a hero to a man like me. He's a man who persevered. I know it's through God's grace, but he just lived in simple faith alone. The trials were no less for him. The trials were no less for those who have persevered, who have pressed on. Their marriages were no less rough. The sickness and the disease were no less for them. They just trusted him in simple faith. They just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you're going to provide, that you're going to bring us through this. I look around this auditorium and I see those that could have simply just thrown their hands up and said, Lord, I can't go on anymore. But they just simply trusted him. And all the blessings that come from such a life. So my friend today, listen to what our Savior says. Come to me. And in coming to me, come to me in simple faith. In coming to me, come to me by simple faith alone. And in coming to me, come to me by simple faith alone, and it will be rewarded. As certain as the letters in red are the very word of God, so certain is his promise toward those who trust him. Let's stand together.